Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that we have a God in heaven who, when we don't feel like getting up and coming here and worshiping Him, He'll be right here ready for us, whether we're ready to be here or not. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good. We are a blessed people. We are a very blessed people. Honestly, we are a spoiled people is what we are. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, last night, me and Sister Haley, I was getting my Sunday school lesson ready for this morning, and she was studying her Bible, and she ended up reading me a verse of Scripture, and it stuck out to me, and then I got a phone call. I was getting ready for Sunday school this morning about 5:40 in the morning that I had to fill in. And for those who don't know, that's nothing new to me. I used to have that all the time back in the day. Before, I remember one time I got asked to preach on the step of the church right before church was supposed to start. So last-minute notifications is not nothing new to me. I can get in. I just pray that the Lord will be here and that y'all pray that He will anoint me this morning. I have a burden this morning. When I found out I was preaching, honestly, I do not believe it was nothing but God showing us or showing me last night what eventually I was to preach. And then immediately afterwards, about 4 hours later, here we go. So here we are to preach. So I just pray that you pray that the Lord will touch me this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I'll just give a little bit of testimony this morning. Again, this is nothing bragging, but this morning I had a notification on my phone, on my calendar. Thank the Lord for calendar apps. You can just have a reminder right there every single year. And even then, sometimes I still forget about dates, even with the calendar app. But I had a notification this morning that it has been 7 years since I announced my call to preach. 7 long years. I don't know where them 7 years have gone, but they're gone somewhere. But anyways, and then, not to mention that, but also 11 years ago, and about a month, I believe it is, excuse me, about 2 months from now, 11 years ago is when I went through the baptism and received the Holy Ghost. And about 11 years ago. I don't know where the 11 years ago went, but that also went somewhere. Amen. But if you have your Bibles, Daniel chapter 3, we're beginning to read there in verse 15. If you have your Bibles and you're there, say amen. And the Bible says like this, "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery," and I ain't going to pretend to announce that word because I'm going to get a... There you go. Y'all had it right there for me. There you go. "And all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image, but I have made. Well, but it be yourself, not, sorry, if it worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, "We are not careful to answer thee in this." That particular verse right here, that part. "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Take note right here. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I'm going to take a note there just for a minute again. "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter," skipping there down to verse 18, "but if not." This morning I'll be preaching on a simple topic, "but if not." Not. Amen. Are you going to help me preach this morning? I know we were cutting a little bit of time, but that's okay. I'll be as short as possible as long as the Lord uses me. Amen. Father, I pray, God, that you touch me this morning. Lord, I pray that you anoint your servant as he comes here to preach this word to thy people. Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I can only do it with you using me, God. I pray that you use me as I come before your people to preach this word that you have given to me for this church at this time for a word of encouragement, Lord. I pray that you just touch me, Lord, and that you anoint me and you be here with me, God. I pray right now. In Jesus' holy name, and the church says, amen. Just for a minute, I want to lay a foundation and more of a historical and a contextual background here to understand this powerful moment that we have read in the book of Daniel chapter 3. We must first understand the world these young men were living in. The events take place during the Babylonian exile when the kingdom of Judah had been conquered by the Babylonian Empire. In 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem and carried many of the brightest young Israelites into captivity. These young men were taken far from their homeland, far from their temple, and far from everything familiar. Could you imagine in your daily routine, you as a Christian, and we're not Jews, but as a Christian, we'll just say that, that out of nowhere, America gets conquered by, we'll say, whoever, China, whatever. And out of nowhere, China rips you from Hampton Roads and rips you from your home and sends you off to a far country in Asia. How are you going to react to that? How would you react to that? Now, you are going from something you are very familiar with, your friends, your family, your loved ones, the culture that you understand, even the food that you know very well. You go away from all of that to be put in some far kingdom, somewhere off out in the middle of nowhere that you know nothing about. All you know is the name Babylon. You know the city. You know the Babylonian people. But you have no idea anything about their culture in depth. How do you think you would react? These young men were taken far, far among these captives that we know of, the four, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were trained in Babylonian culture. They were given Babylonian names. They were educated in the language and placed in positions of leadership within the empire. But although they lived in Babylon, Babylon did not live in them. Though they might have been put in a place, that place was not put in their hearts. I remember a couple years ago, Brother Tom Jones, he told me, he said, you can take the boy out of Carolina, but you can't take the Carolina out of the boy. I'm from Carolina. I'm proud to be from Carolina. I may live in Virginia, but you'll never get me to admit that I'm a true Virginian. I am a North Carolinian. They live in a kingdom that they didn't know of at the time. Now they've been taught and educated. They were a part of Babylon. They're a part of the empire. They knew that now they've known the language, now they know the culture, they know everything about it, but they might have been in Babylon, but they were not a part of Babylon. Babylon was not in their hearts. The gods, they didn't worship the gods, they didn't praise the gods, they were plucked out of Judah, and they were now put in Babylon, but they denied everything about their God because they knew who the true God was. And as we read here in chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar built a massive golden image, approximately 90 feet tall, and commanded that whenever the music played, everyone in the kingdom must bow down and worship the image. This was not just political loyalty. This was forced worship. This was not just something, well, you know, I'm just going to give back. This was, you had to force. You were forced to worship this idol. You were forced to worship this God. This was not just something to get by. You had to admit that your God was wrong and that this image was the true God. It's sad to say that many people in Christianity nowadays, that if they were put on their knees, public television, whatever you want to say, and were said, deny your God or die, there's a lot of Christians that would denounce Jesus Christ. There's a lot of Christians that would say, I have no idea who he is. There's a lot of Christians that would say, I don't even know who you're talking about, because they want to live on this earth. And they would denounce him. Anyone who refused this would be thrown into a blazing furnace, as he tells them later on. When the music played, the entire crowd bowed, but three men stood alone, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their refusal, their just denial, their disobedience enraged the king. They were brought before him and given one final chance, and that is where our text begins here in Daniel 3 and 15, reveals one of the boldest declarations of faith in all scripture. They said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us, but if not, we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care how much you hurt me, how much pain you bring upon me. I will not deny my God. I will not deny who brought me. Listen, he can deliver me if he wants to and if it is in his will. He is able to. And if he doesn't deliver me, it's not because he has no power. It's just because, in my opinion, he just wants to see me in heaven, amen. Because you can understand one thing, that if we won't see God deliver us here on earth, we're going to see him again in heaven. We may not be delivered. I heard a story of a long time ago of a flood that happened. It was during Katrina. And honestly, it was kind of a practical joke story. But he said that he prayed for God to deliver him over and over again. Deliver me, God. I want you to deliver me. And a boat came by. And he said, no, God's going to deliver me. And another boat came by. Nope, God's going to deliver me. And about that time, the water is at the very top. His feet are in the water. And he's crying, God, why have you not delivered me? And then it dawned upon him, my Lord, he sent two boats my way. And here I was expecting God to come down on a golden throne and pick me up himself and place me on dry ground. Listen, God will deliver us. He's able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, I'm still going to worship him. Hallelujah. We need to have the boldness as these three are standing before death. We need the boldness to declare that I don't care what you put me through, world. I don't care what you do to me, devil. I don't care how bad you tempt me, how rough you are on me. I do not care. I will not deny my God in heaven. Point one, God has the power to deliver. I set the foundation. Now I promise I'm gonna try to hurry. The first thing they declared was confidence in God's power. All of them said, our God is able to deliver us. The Bible reminds us that God is a delivering God. Psalms 34 verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God delivered Israel from Egypt with a mighty hand there in the book of Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. God has always shown his power to rescue his people. Jeremiah 32 and 27 declares, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for him? I understand the situations that were going on this morning and the prayer. I felt God come down and I believe things were done this morning. But I just want us to bring to remind us that God is able to deliver. God is able to heal. God is able to do all things. He has all the power and he is able to do it all. If we have faith as small of a grain as of a mustard seed, we can see mountains move. So if I can see a mountain move, my God, I believe I can see somebody be healed this morning. If I can see a mountain, and I understand I know what he's saying, but just bear with me. If I can see a mountain move, my Lord, my little problems seem like nothing to God. He split a Red Sea down the middle and let them walk across dry ground. And because I'm going through a little bit of depression, I think that's too big for God. Nothing is impossible for him. He can shut down the fire. He can close the lion's mouth. He can open prison doors. Psalms 46 and 1 reminds us God is our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. Is anybody in trouble this morning? I look around and I see everything going on. I know what's happening in Iran. I have my own political things. I'm not even going to get into it this morning. That's a whole rabbit trail down itself. I may have things here and there, but I can tell you one thing. It looks scary. It looks dark. It looks rough. And those as Christians know that no matter what America does in the Middle East, there will never be peace. There will never be prosperity. All it's going to be is chaos and war. But I do know this. I may see gas prices going up. One day it's $2.72 and the next day it's $3.39. I may see that happening. We talked about it in Sunday school. I may see this going on. A loved one may hurt me. Something may come up. Somebody just all of a sudden just passes away out of nowhere. I may see all these things, but I know a God in heaven who is with me through it all. I know a God in heaven who has the power to stand beside me and carry me through all the situations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Many of us can testify today, God has delivered us before. Preacher, how do you know what he delivered me? Well, I believe I'm looking at everybody in here that's saved. So first of all, he delivered you from sin. He delivered me. I know he's delivered me from trouble. Can you say he's delivered me from trouble this morning? I guess everybody's tired. I don't understand. He's delivered me from trouble. I can tell you that this morning. He delivered us from situations we thought would destroy us. Have you ever been on the brink of destruction where it felt like you were on the cliff's edge and you didn't know where help was going to come from? Did he deliver you from it? I know he's delivered it from me. I'm glad to know my God can and has the power to do all things. He can heal my broken heart. He can heal my broken spirit. I'll be happy to dance in the dark times knowing that he can heal my body. He can heal my ailments. I'm glad that I serve a God that can do all things. As long as I trust him, I can see it done. I don't care what the devil throws in your face. I don't care the temptations that may lie. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart, but I feel like there's somebody here today that is dealing with the devil, that is gnawing on their heels, that is like a dog chasing after them, and you don't know where to run to. You can't figure it out in the whole time. There's a cross right behind you. God's right there, but you're trying to do it on your own because you think you got to live up to mom and dad's standards, grandma and grandpa's standards. You got to live up to them. And listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. I would rather you run to an altar and get broken before God and humble before God and forget everything about what your parents or anybody thinks. God has the power to deliver you this morning over anything. I don't care what it is. It can be the darkest depression that you've ever had in your mind. It can be the strongest addiction that you felt like you've ever faced up against. I do not care. I know God has the power to deliver us and to deliver you out of it this morning if you would only come to the altar. That's the problem that Christians have today, is nobody wants to humble themselves and come to an altar and give it to him. I can handle it on my own. I can do it by myself. And everything's going to be okay. Shh. It's hidden from everybody. The problem that Christians have also is when someone does come to the altar, the first thing you do is try to figure out what's going on with them. Try to figure out what's the problem. What secret sin they may have. What are they doing? God forbid that be the thing that you think of when that goes on. If a soul that is grieved by just different things going on, by temptation, by different things, I pray to God that you, the first thing you don't think about when they come to an altar is what's going on in their life, what's happening to them, what are they doing behind closed doors. I pray to God the first thing you think of is, my God, I know a God who can get down there with them and deliver them from the depression. I have a God that I know that can deliver them from all things if they would just humble themselves down and they would seek his face. The last thing we should be thinking about is, what are they doing? Hallelujah. Moving on, point two. Faith that trusts God's, that trusts God before the miracle. The powerful part of their statement is that their faith did not depend on the outcome. They did not say, if God saves us, we will serve him. Their faith was already settled. Hebrews 11:1, everybody can quote it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can say it in our sleep. We can repeat it over and over again. As a matter of fact, we repeat it so much that we forget about the power behind the verse. Faith is not something you see and then you believe. Faith is sometimes when you don't know where the money's going to come from. You don't know when the Lord's going to show up on the scene. And you got to walk day by day, not understanding why this is happening to you. Not understanding why God is letting this happen. You don't even know what's going to go around. You don't know, why am I being put through this, Lord? Faith says this, I don't know. I do know that God can heal. I do know that God can touch. I do know God can deliver. I know he can help, he can strengthen, and he can touch every person in here. And I'm declaring it to the devil that I don't care what you put me through. I have the faith that I trust God. No matter what you say, no matter what lies you tell me, no matter how much you rage, you spit, you cuss, you just say all vile things. I don't care what you do, devil. I know a God in heaven who can touch me. I know a God in heaven who has the power. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Their trust was not in the circumstance. Their trust was in God and God alone. Job declared the same faith. In Job 13:15, he says, that he slay me, yet will I trust in him. This is a matter of faith. Faith that worships before breakdown. Faith that stands before the miracle. Faith says God can deliver me, but matter of faith says, even if it doesn't, I will stand and serve him. Too many people serve God only when things are going well. This is a rabbit trail. I understand this. Just bear with me. I see it all the time, and I'm not trying to talk bad on nobody. I'm not doing that, but I see it all the time. See it on social media. Living like you want to live, living like a heathen out in the world, partying, drinking, whatever. I got in a car wreck. Please pray. Why'd you get in a car wreck? Well, I was drunk driving. Please pray. Or, God forbid, I say this again, I'm not trying to touch on nobody. I'm be honest with you. I've seen it happen a million times. I had a miscarriage. Please touch me. And I pray. You do pray for him and you do touch him. But you're going to live like a heathen. You're going to live out there in the world. You're going to enjoy the pleasure of this world. And the first thing that happens, I'm glad they understand that God is there right there for them when something happens to them. But if they would only just live in God, if they would only live with God through the good times, my Lord, when the bad times comes, they would be ready. Us as Christians, we find ourselves all the time put in bad situations and our mood is just down and our attitude is sour because we're put in a situation. If you would understand this, if you would live for God and prosper with him when there's nothing going on, when the bad time comes, you are going to latch on to what you had in the good times and you will latch back onto God and that will bring you through it. But a lot of times we just hold on to the bad. We barely live enough. We just live enough to get by, really. And even then sometimes that ain't enough. But real worship shows up in the fire. Real faith stands when everyone else bows down. I am living in a world where I see nothing but bowing down to Satan. I see nothing but people getting on one knee and saying, Satan, I will serve you. I will do what you want me to do. I will just do whatever you ask me. But I'm telling you one thing. I see a church full of people that will say, listen, everyone else may bow when the music plays, but I'm going to be the one that stands alone and I'll stand by myself if I have to. And I will never deny God's power. The power of but if not. Moving on. I'm hurrying. Then comes the phrase that defies their faith. But if not. In other words, God can deliver us. God may deliver us. Important part. But if not, we will not bow anyways. He can. He has the power. He will if it's his perfect will. Oh, God, touch me right here. But if not, I'm going to stand anyways. Whether I'm getting what I want or not, I'm still going to stand for him. Whether or not it's in my timing or my plan or my own will, if not, I'm still going to stand. I'm still going to run in faith. I'm still going to keep pushing forward. I'm sorry I may not got my way. I'm sorry you may not getting in your own time, in your own way. It's still not an excuse to bow down to anybody, but just only stand for God. Exodus 20:3 reminds us of God's commands, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They had already decided that obedience to God mattered more than survival. Jesus later taught in the Gospel of Matthew, fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. I'm not changing verses, but I'm just going to say it like this. Don't fear the devil who attacks you every day. Just fear God. Just fear God. I listen, can it be scary? Sure. Will tough times come? Yeah. Will you be scared at times? Yeah, you're human. Well, absolutely, you will be scared at times. But if God doesn't do it when if God doesn't do it when I want it done, if he doesn't do it exactly how I want it, if God doesn't do it just the way I see fit in my own perfect will, it's okay. I'm still going to stand. I'm still going to worship him. He's perfect. He knows what's going to happen. He knows everything tomorrow. Maybe there's a reason why you got to go on suffering. Maybe there's a reason why you got to keep on. I don't know the reason, but I can think of one thing. It's a testimony for when it finally happens that I went through the hard time for years. My God, it's a testimony that when I come out 3 years later, that my Lord, he healed me. My God, he touched me. I remember a situation not too long ago of a preacher I knew that they went through this situation of just depression. For 3 long years, they went through it. They said they felt anointed when they preached, but as soon as they got done preaching, they just felt depression come all on them. And they didn't know what's going on. They fasted over and over again, many times. They prayed. They got prayer from their friends and families and other preachers that they knew. And for three long years, it just kept going on and on and on, and they had no idea what was going on. They didn't know the reason. They didn't understand it. They didn't know what was happening. And listen, the perfect scenario. We come up here. We get prayed for. My Lord, he heals. He touches. We run around the aisle. We shout for 2 hours. Man, what a good old time. But it doesn't always happen like that. She remembered it today, what happened. They remembered the day they went across railroad tracks, hit the railroad tracks, and as soon as they hit it, it was all gone. The fear, the anxiety, the depression that everybody has been through, they know that feeling. It was all gone after 3 years of dealing with it. Every single bit of it was gone, and all they did was run over some railroad tracks. They spent time in prayer. They were fasting. They were hungry to be delivered. But my Lord, it took some railroad tracks as they crossed it, and my Lord, everything was gone. I know it wasn't the railroad tracks that done it, but listen, it's not going to be in the perfect scenario, in the perfect service. You can be riding down the road and you can feel it go away. You can be riding down the road and something just changed inside of you. They got out of their vehicle, they started worshiping God, and they were shouting on the side of the road. It's not going to be always the perfect scenario. Their loyalty to God was stronger than their fear of the furnace. They were saying, even if the fire burns, even if the miracle doesn't come, even if we die, we will not bow. Are you ready to say the same thing to this world? And this world is getting darker and darker and nastier. Sin is rampaging around every single corner. Are you ready to say the same thing? Are you willing to say, if God doesn't deliver me through this, I'll still serve him. If it's not happening exactly the way I want it, I'm still going to serve him. If God doesn't heal me, I'm still going to worship him. If he doesn't touch me, I'm still going to praise him. God has the power, but if not, I'm still going to worship him like he's already done it. Is that your cry this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, kotainama. Point four, and I promise I'm done after this. Worship that survives the furnace. When the king saw their boldness, he was furious and ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter. But when they were thrown into the fire, something incredible happened. Daniel 3:24-25 records that the king looked into the furnace and he saw 4 men walking around in the fire. We know the story, I understand that. God did not abandon them, but he joined them in the furnace. He did not abandon their side. He didn't walk away from them. Right when death was upon them, guess where God was? He was right there in the midst, dancing around with them as they were walking around. Listen, they didn't see God. They had no vision upon him that he was standing beside them, but the enemy saw him. King Nebuchadnezzar saw him, and that's all that mattered. I ain't got to see God when I'm going through the furnace. I ain't got to see him, but as long as I know he's with me, that's all that matters. Oh, Kiyatayinamaha. Hallelujah. I ain't got to see him in the hard times. I just know he's there with me. And though he may not deliver me, he will still give me strength to face. face it. Isaiah 43:2. He promised already, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Sometimes God delivers us from the fire before we step into it. Sometimes God delivers us from the fire while we are in the middle of it. But either way, he is with us. Whether or not I'm dancing alone in the dark by myself, not seeing God, guess what, church? I know he's there with me. That's all I need to know. I don't got to know nothing else besides the fact that he is with me. Oh, God, touch us this morning. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, I'm just encouraging somebody, multiple people this morning, I feel it in my spirit. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. These are promises by God, folks. God is not a liar. He will not lie. These are continual promises that he will be with us forever. And in Romans 8:35, he reminds us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? It's a question. I'm asking that question this morning. What's going to separate you from God? I need some loud answers here. That ain't loud enough. That ain't enough declaration there. It's going to be nothing, absolutely nothing, when everybody may bow down, when drugs or alcohol or whatever, or lust of the flesh or whatever sin may come upon, depression, sickness, I don't care what it is, that scary word of cancer, I don't care. When it comes at us and tells us, bow down in fear, it tells us, bow down and be scared of me, guess what I'm going to do? I'll stand flat-footed and say, I might be scared of you, but I got a God who's with me. He's going to stand with me in the fiery furnace. He's going to be right there beside me. You may want fear, but guess what I got? I am not afraid when God's on my side. Nothing and absolutely nothing can separate us from God's presence except ourself. As my wife comes to the piano, I promise. So today, I want us as a church to make that same declaration. As those three men said, I believe God can deliver me. I believe it. I know he can. Again, Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Another promise right there. I believe God can make a way. But my faith does not depend on my situation. It does not depend on how bad it's getting. My faith doesn't depend on the outcome. But if not, guess what I'm going to do? If not, I'm going to still worship him. If not, I'm going to be right there beside. I want him to be beside me, and I'm going to walk with him. If not, I'm going to still trust in him. If not, I'm still going to walk beside him every single day. Oh, hallelujah. If the healing doesn't come, if the breakthrough doesn't happen, if the hardship continues, I will still worship God. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So if God delivers me, I will praise him. If he doesn't, but if not, guess what I'm still going to do? I'm still going to worship. I will still enter the fiery furnace gladly. As everybody stands. If I'm to be delivered, before I step into it, I'm going to run and shout. But if I got to walk with both hands tied behind my back, Brother Eddie, and step into it, I'll step into it gladly, knowing that if God decides to be there with me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to dance. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to praise him. But if I'm to go into eternity, to be gone from this worldly plane forever, guess what I'm going to see when I open my eyes on the other side? I'm going to see Jesus there. I'm going to see him right beside. If I am to die of a martyr's death, and I'm going to go out there and preach the gospel, and they kill me, you know what I want to see?
I pray that I look up like Stephen and see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father waiting to welcome me in. I love that part of the Bible. I love Acts specifically. Everybody knows I love Acts, but that one right there in Acts is one of my favorites. A lot of people may not know this. I know probably everybody does know this here. He is standing there not only to welcome him, but in an honor of him. You're willing to die for me. So he is standing right there, welcoming him in, honoring him as he is dying. If he heals me before I walk in, he delivers me before I walk in, wonderful. If I gotta face it, okay, I'm going in. And if he delivers me while I'm in it, amazing. But if not, you know what I'm gonna see, Brother Tom, when I open my eyes? You know what I'm gonna see when I open my eyeballs? I'm gonna see God in heaven. I'm gonna see Christ, my eternal King. I'm gonna see him standing right there. And let me tell you one thing, the first thing I'm gonna do, I know some, I've heard people say, I'm gonna run and see my loved ones. I promise you, I love them, but I'm not gonna run to them. I'm gonna run to the foot of my Jesus. I wanna see the nail scars in his hand. I wanna see him in his feet. I just wanna give him a big old hug. Lord, you may not have delivered me, but I don't care. I'm with you right now. I'm here with you now. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eyes closed this morning. I'm not going to take long. I'm going to be quick. If there is somebody here this morning that is fighting something and the devil is just throwing everything at you, and you don't know how to get out of it, you just know God is able. Or even if you feel like you've lost that unction that God is able, I pray that you come find a place to pray right now in these altars. I don't know who you are. I don't know how many. But I know somebody, multiple people here, God wants to deal with you. And he wants to touch you. And he wants to help you. And he wants to deliver you in these altars this morning. One more time, I'm going to ask. Would you come this morning? Listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, God dealt with me this morning. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm not nobody special at all. But I can tell you one thing. I know when the Lord is dealing with me. And I know when I feel his spirit upon me. Oh, God. And you're not going to tell this preacher this morning that there's not at least one person in here that is dealing with something that the devil is throwing at him. Temptation, addiction, oppression. I don't know what it is, but I know one thing. God dealt with me this morning, and I prayed for whoever may be here this morning that you would come. So I'm going to ask one more time before I ask everybody else to come. Would you please come this morning? God, touch me. Lord, God, I pray you touch us. Lord, I pray you be with us this morning, God, in these altars. I pray you help us. Oh, God. Lord, I've come here and given my heart, and that's all I can do. Lord, I pray that you move in these altars and you touch your people. Oh, hallelujah. Come and find a place to pray, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.